Well, last time we did an introduction, Halacha Beis, just an introduction, overview of all the different things that you could do with milk and making cheese and a whole assortment of different things that you can make out of it. I'm now ready to start Halacha, Halacha Beis. Gvinis Avdi Kachavim, cheese is made by Goyim, Asrum, they made them, the Chacham asked them, the nation of Mid Matzeb or Kevis Shechitasam. Because you can make those, they make those cheeses, that's how they do it. They make them with skin from the stomach of the animal, and the if they do that from their animals, it's shehin avela, it's in avela because they didn't shecht it. So mevela, they would make the cheese treif. So because of that concern, Chacham asked all the kunis, and the Mechaber ends off, that v'afiu hamidim basavim asur. Even if we know that they happen to have not used a kevis avel, they used a plant-based rennet. I'm not sure exactly what that means, how you make it out of plants, but...
Portugal,
Portugal, okay. We said last time that rennet is what's called a protease, so if they get one out of a plant, they can make a cheese out of it also. Again, I believe you. I think Shulchan said it's such a thing. Even if we knew they did it like that, then it's still my kosher, because the Chum made a takana, that you're not allowed to have gvina, because there's chashash, that they might use it using kevis nevela. Nevela, they made a Such an issue. Okay, so this mechaber is saying the din that we've heard this din, which is this is the din of gvinis hakum, that is a goy's cheese is not you're not allowed to eat a goy's cheese. Okay, what does that mean? A gvinis hakum, and what does it mean? Gvinis what we call gvinis yisrael, the kosher kind of a cheese that's going to be in Mitzvah for 2 times from now. What does it take to make it? For now, we'll just believe it that if you walk into Walmart and you pick up a package of Munster cheese, that's treif. Okay, that's it.
We are not talking about something like cream cheese.
That's what we're talking about today. It's about cream cheese, right?
No, I'm saying, when you say Venus,
that's what we're going to talk about today. Whether or not
cheese,
we're going to talk about that. But if you, whatever the Shulchan Aruch is saying is that there's some kind of a cheese that if you go out and you buy it, it's not kosher. What it takes to make kosher cheese, we'll do in 2 times. But for now, hopefully. But this time, we're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about.
Out of curiosity, all these companies that make like cream cheese, they all have.
No, we're going to talk about that today. That's what we're going to talk about. Okay. Hold a second. Okay.
Okay.
One more thing is that one more thing of what we're going to not talk about is that the Shulchan Aruch said is I just got to clear this cleared off the table that the Shulchan Aruch said the chashash is that they make it from kevis nevela. They make it from they shaft an animal, take out a piece from the stomach from the or of the keva from a certain part of the stomach, and they take that piece off and they put it in to make the cheese. Okay, the implication sounds pretty clear that if they would make it from keva shchuta. Okay, it means if we would shecht an animal and take the keva from that animal and use it to make cheese, that wouldn't have been a problem. The problem is that the goyim use kevas nevela. Right? The Mechaber makes a point, they take it from our keva shchitasim shehin nevela. As if to say that if they make it from keva of a shchuta, it'll be kosher. And the obvious question on that is, well, what happened to basar b'chalav? Okay, keva is basar and milk is chalav, so what happens?
If we make out brachim.
What?
Maybe coming if we make it.
No, but he says, well, so what does he say? They make it from a keva. What is it? The Gemara happens to say keva is nevela. What is it? They make it from a keva. The reason, because it's basar b'chalav. That would be the simpler answer. Basar b'chalav. So that the
well, they make the same thing. So what's the difference if they make it or we make it?
So that's a question. Why isn't it a problem? What happened? It's basar b'chalav. It's meat and milk. Right? That's not kosher. So the Taz talks about it over here, but we're not going to talk about it. We're going to save it for Simin Pei Zayin. That's what we talk about it, the shayla about whether is it mutter or asur, is mechatchila b'diavad to make cheese out of kosher keva. Could you take a piece out of a shechted animal, take the piece out of a keva and make cheese out of it? Mirtz shem for halacha pesa, sim pesa. Okay, so now those are the things we're not going to talk about. Okay, so now what we're going to talk about, which is, we said last time we described different cheeses, we for our purposes, can break down all cheeses into these two big groups. Okay, one is the called the rennet set cheeses, and one is the esser set cheeses. Rennet set cheeses, otherwise known like the hard cheeses, those are cheeses that the way you get it to coagulate is with rennet. And the esser set cheeses are the ones that you put acid in, or you let it acidify, and it makes an esser set cheese. And just to remind you that rennet set cheeses, the hard cheeses are Munster cheese and mozzarella cheese. Those are what we call American cheese, and those kind of cheeses. Those are what we call the hard cheeses, and the soft cheeses are cream cheese and cottage cheese and farmer cheese and things like that. Okay.
What's American cheese?
American cheese is actually
cheddar cheese.
Certain kinds of cheeses, let's say cheddar, which is then processed, it's cooked and processed. So it's not a, so to speak, a real cheese. But it's within the hard cheese group.
It's within the hard cheese.
Yeah, it's made out of rennet. The way you make the cheese
is... Is there 6 hours?
No. We're not talking about 6 hours. 6 hours is a different thing.
It's aged.
If you have an aged cheese, you wait 6 hours. The Shacharon uses the word hard. For our purposes, we're calling hard and soft between whether you use rennet to make the cheese or you use something acidic to make the cheese. Okay, so the cheeses that are what called the hard cheeses, the rennets and cheeses, those are pashut, that those need to be Gvinis Yisrael. Because the way you make them is by putting in rennet. So there's a chash that if you buy the goat's cheese, then you put in the treif rennet. So that's an obvious, we're going to call it animal rennet. Even though you can make animal rennet, that's kosher. Just for simplicity, we call it animal rennet. You can make it out of animal rennet. So obviously those need to have Gvinis Yisrael. The question is whether the soft cheeses, cottage cheese and cream cheese and sour cream and yogurt, do those things need to be made with Gvinis Yisrael? Because they're not made with rennet. So if they're not made with rennet, then so on the one hand we should say is, well, they're not made with rennet. If they're not made with rennet, what's the chash? There's no chash that they made yogurt with rennet. It has nothing to do with it. You don't make yogurt out of rennet. You use yogurt out of... Either you acidify it, or you put it in the cultures, or you put let it sour by itself. There's different ways to do it. We talked about it last time. But you don't use rennet to make it. So maybe the simple looking at it would be is that there's no reason for Chum to ask that thing. Okay. What's the other side? The other side is that the reason for the takon is because of a chash that they put in rennet. But once the Chum made the takana, once they made the takana, that cheese needs to be Gvinis Yisrael because of a chash they put in rennet, excuse me, that chash include, now the takana includes all cheeses. It's a light cloak. And the takana includes all cheeses. Those cheeses that have rennet and those cheeses that don't have rennet. Doesn't make a difference. Just like the takana includes cheeses that are made with asavim, that the rennet came from a plant-based item. So too, light cloak, and you'd say it also includes things that are made, cream cheese doesn't have any rennet in it, but even so, if you don't make it with rennet, even so, it could be included in it. That's the other side. Okay? But you could argue on this point also, you could say that it's not a light cloak, because, maybe to the consumer looking in the store, mozzarella cheese and cottage cheese are all look the same. Cheese is cheese, but to people who know what they're doing, cottage cheese and mozzarella cheese have nothing to do with each other. Maybe we call them cheese, but they're two totally different classes of foods. Hard cheese and soft cheese are not the same. For example, we know that the din of that butter doesn't require Gvinis Yisrael. Okay, we took Ben Malach Gimel, but butter doesn't need Gvinis Yisrael. Why not? It's something that's solid, that's made out of milk. Well, of course, like butter has, we saw this, and butter has no shaykhus to cheese. It has nothing to do with cheese. It's not a separation of proteins that creates this item. It has nothing to do with it. It's skim off, cream off the top. It's a whole different bird. It has nothing to do with it. So maybe, just like the butter doesn't eat Gvinis Yisrael, so maybe so too. Soft cheese and hard cheese are like two different classes of foods. The fact that the Hamoinam calls them both cheese doesn't really make such a difference. Okay? So, within this last point that I made, that maybe there's two classes of cheeses, there's one group that's even more cow, even more reason to make on one group, and that is yogurt and sour cream. Okay, because yogurt and sour cream are very different than other cheeses. We mentioned this last time, but yogurt and sour cream are different than all the other hard and soft cheeses that we mentioned. And that is, all hard cheeses, and all soft cheeses, are made, you do something that pulls out the protein, the casein protein out of it, with or without fat, it pulls it out, leaving behind a liquid. So we get out certain solids that we want, leaving behind other liquid gets left behind, the whey gets left behind. That's all hard and soft cheeses. Yogurt and sour cream are not like that. Yogurt and sour cream are the solidification of the whole milk. When you take a gallon of milk and you make yogurt, the whole gallon of milk turns into yogurt. You don't have leftovers afterwards. Okay? There are yogurts that are like that. There are yogurts that are like that, that are filtered. I'm forgetting the word now, what you call it. That are filtered, that you actually get out, separate a solid from a liquid. But by and large, sour creams and yogurts are made by, you solidify the whole thing. So that's really dramatically different than other cheeses. So if you want to say, like I was saying to you, maybe soft and hard cheeses are two separate classes, and one has a takana and one doesn't. There's no word plug. Even if you don't want to say that, you want to say, no, cheese is cheese. It's all pulling out casein. But it's harder to say that for yogurt and sour cream, because the yogurt and sour cream are made from, are not like, you don't pull something out and leave something behind. That's sort of like the feature of cheese, that you pull something out of the milk and left something behind. You don't do that. This yogurt and sour cream are the whole thing. You're getting the whole milk, whatever milk you put in is what you get out. Okay. So that's a question. Should we be machmir on to say that soft cheeses need community salt or they don't need them. Okay? So there's a whole many shittas in the place, many places who have talked about it either directly or indirectly. One is there's a machlokes, we'll see Mr. Shem and Halacha Gimel, machlokes between Prichodesh and Radvaz, those are two of the bigger names, but Prichodesh and the Radvaz, as to whether ricotta cheese needs to be Gvinis Yisrael. Okay? Ricotta cheese, if you remember, is when you make regular cheese, you have whey left over. So when you make, regular cheese, you're pulling out the casein, that's one protein, leaving whey. If you pull out the whey protein, you can make a cheese out of the whey protein. That cheese is called ricotta cheese. So
what word would I search for ricotta cheese?
Ricotta.
Ricotta.
So ricotta cheese is when you pull out the from the whey protein, you're making a new cheese called ricotta cheese. And there's a shayla, there's a machlokes, Prichodesh Ravaz, Mishnah for Halacha Gimel, a machlokes whether that cheese needs to be Gvinis Yisrael. So Rav Vosner says, what's the machlokes? He says that cheese is not made with rennet. You make it out of whey, and then you use heat. We talked about this. You use heat to get the whey to come out of the liquid. He says, you're not using any rennet. He says, why do some people think it's asher and some people think it's mutter? So Rav Vosner says, it's totally in this shaila. Those who think it's asher, the Radvaz who says it's asher is because he holds anything that's cheese needs to be Gvinis Yisrael. Even if you don't use rennet to make it, that Takanos Chacham, that all cheese needs to be Gvinis Yisrael. And the Prichodesh holds that the Chacham only made a takana for hard cheeses. Cheeses that are made, that could be made with rennet. Cheeses that have no shaychus to rennet, like ricotta cheese has no shaychus to rennet. Ricotta cheese, which is made by heating up whey, has nothing to do with rennet. That is made, that doesn't need to be good. So that's what Rav Vosner says, is the machlokes between these achronim about ricotta cheese is the machlokes we're talking about.
What would he have to do to make it?
Good question. It's a very good question. We'll come to that. That's in the next piece. Okay. But that, we're trying to say, should it or not? I'm going to get to that. Hold on a second. Jump ahead. The Chacham Sadam, when he says the din of Gvinis Yisrael, it's really a very short din, as you might expect. It's a very short din. And he says is, Gvinis Akam is Asher, so the Shulchan Aruch said it's Asher Afil Hamidu Basam. Even if they created, they coagulated the cheese with asavim, with a plant-based rennet, it's still asher. Well, the Chacham Sadam adds in two more words. He says, Afil Hamidu Basavim, Oy Memela. Okay? Does it happen by itself? Okay? What does that mean, Oy Memela? What does it mean to make a cheese by itself? You can't make a hard cheese by itself. Hard cheese, you could sit there all day long, it'll never turn into hard cheese. You can't make mozzarella cheese or cheddar cheese by itself. The cheeses you can make by themselves, as we spoke about last time, was the soft cheeses. Because if you let milk sit by itself, it begins to sour. Bacteria eat on it, begins to sour. When it begins to sour, the acid that they're creating, the lactic acid that those microorganisms are creating, causes the casein to fall out, creating a soft cheese. That's what you're doing. You're making a soft cheese. When you leave milk on the counter, and you say, it looked a week later like cottage cheese, well, that's what it was. It was cottage cheese. That's what you're doing. You're souring it. So a cheese that you can make, memela, means a soft cheese. That's what he's talking about. So the Chacham Sadam was assuming that soft cheeses were also included in the din of Gvinis Akam. That is, hamidu basavim, that could go either way. Oh, a memela. A memela cheese means a soft cheese. You can't make hard cheese memela. Okay, then the Aruch HaShulchan says something similar. The Aruch HaShulchan says, he says, the Gvinis Akam applies, I'm going to read you his words, but he said, it applies even to Gvina Pshuta Shalanu She'ein Ba Hamada Klal. Okay, what's the Gvina Pshuta Shalanu? I don't know what he meant. The simple cheese, whatever that means, She'ein Ba Hamada Klal, doesn't have any Hamada. Well, what does Ein Ba Hamada Klal mean? Also, he sounds like he's saying a cheese that just happens by itself. There's no Hamada. You don't do anything to make it happen. You don't put something in. It just happens by itself. What do you mean happens by itself? Happens by itself is a soft cheese. That's an acid-based cheese. It can happen by itself. If you leave it out, the microorganisms eat from it, they create lactic acid, which sours it and pulls out the casein to make a soft cheese. So those imply that the isra of Gvinis Akam applies to soft cheese also. You should just know within the Aruch HaShulchan there are steerers to this, what I just said to you. I told you this Aruch HaShulchan says it, which is it's pretty strong on this side. There's two other places. In one he says, he says the reason why butter doesn't need Gvinis Yisrael is because, he says, butter doesn't need it because it's Ein Bezeh Hamada Klal Shenochutz Or HaKeva. Okay, when you make butter, you don't need Hamada that needs Keva. You don't need Keva to make that. Implying that's like the criteria. If you want to decide whether something needs or doesn't need Gvinis Yisrael, look at, does it need Keva, a Keva, or doesn't need a Keva. that implies, it's not as strong as the last one, but it implies that if you have a cheese that didn't need a keva, then it would be more butter-like. Okay? That, and there's other yukum also. Okay, so that's a question. We're not going to get into this. There may be answers to the Rosh Hashanah, but the simple reading of the main thing he said was that grina pshuta shalonu she'en bahamal v'kal is usher. Sounds like he's talking about soft cheeses that are usher also. There's a churro in my shuk where he talks about this. He talks about cottage cheese. That I can't think how he spells it in a whatever funny way. He calls it a cottage. And he says, he brings down why you would think about being mekel, and he says, you shouldn't aim limchois on those people who choose to be mekel. He brings down that, there is a svar to it, and you shouldn't protest those people who are mekel, but the implication is that he thinks you should be machmer. Implication is that he thinks you should be machmer in the shayla, and in fact, Rosh told that to Rabbi Heinrich himself, that you should be makbid in the Shaila, and that's why the Star K is makbid, that they will only take acid casein, which is made Gvinis Yisrael. Okay? Or, we'll see in a second, all the rest of the Hashgachas don't do that, and the Megillah, the Star K, as a matter of principle, won't give Hashgachas to these things, and they lose many Hashgachas because of that. Okay? We actually, there's one that we were just dealing with, that they recommended the Hashgachas into the CRC because they couldn't do it. Because of this position, they couldn't give the Hashgachas on the acid casein part of it, because it's not Gvinis Yisrael. And therefore they said, well, we can't do it. Lots of other people. They don't give us sure, unless they're right, Venus as well. Unless, right, they, right, yeah, they don't.
Don't you think it's Star-D kind of cheese?
Star-D?
You'll have a Star-D to do it, not a Star-K to do it.
I would bet that they don't have the Star-D, so I don't know about the Star-D.
Star-D.
It's, oh, that's right. This case was a Star-D case. I'm sorry. You're right. It's a CRC. They hold that it needs Gvinis Yisrael. Right. It needs Gvinis Yisrael. They hold that it needs Gvinis. What comes up more often, but what's more sort of an ingredient, cottage cheese is a finished product. Yeah, as an ingredient, is acid casein.
So those sour cream cottage cheese, right. No company will take them.
Correct. So that's correct. So that's as a matter of Ramosha in the Chuba implies that you should be machmer. He told her behind him you should be machmer, and therefore they don't do it. They do. Okay, now, so what
if Chol Yisrael is a machmer?
Yeah, sure. Yes, the Chol Yisrael is a machmer. Yes, the Chol Yisrael is machmer. Hold on a second. I didn't get Chol Yisrael. Hold on a second. So what does everybody else do? I just told you a whole. There's a shaila whether it does or doesn't need Gvinis Yisrael. The Paiskim that I mentioned to you all seem to imply that it does need to be Gvinis Yisrael. Ramosha gives that implication. Chacham Sadler and Rachel Shulchan apply like that. Rav Osler says it's a machlokes achorin, whether you need it. So most of the American Hashgachos the national Hashgachos don't require Gvinis Yisrael and soft cheeses, which is why, to answer Ken's question, that's why if you go into the supermarket, you see loads of cream cheese and cottage cheeses with regular national Hashgachos on them, because they don't need Gvinis Yisrael. You never see until recently. You never see mozzarella cheese with a national hashgacha on it, you know, a national brand on it, because no one can afford to make that. It has to be Gvinis Yisrael. But on the soft cheese, it's all over the place. You can buy loads of soft cheeses with a regular national hashgacha, because it's not Gvinis Yisrael, and they're being simulcast on the Rav Hankin said that you could be making on the Shaila. I heard it from Rav Chaim Chernow, who heard it from Terry Goldstein from Rav Hankin. He was a Talmud, and Rabbi Schwartz heard it from Revival Greenstein, Rav in Newark, New Jersey, from a different generation. That's what I'm sure it's heard about. But all back from Rav Hankin, we don't have it in writing, but Rav Hankin said such a thing, that you could be samach on the mekilim, that you don't need to have Gvinis Yisrael on the soft cheeses. It's a different group of cheeses. This is hard cheese and this is soft cheese. It's two different types of cheese. And that's what all Hashgachas, all the national Hashgachas, except for the Star Kale, in Semichon, to say that you don't need Gvinis Yisrael for those cheeses. Okay. So I just mentioned to you a bunch of names. He said this way, he said this way. Here are some of the riots in either direction. The Pesachim that we talked about aren't bringing riots to it. They're just like saying it in passing. It's like an assumption either is or is not cheese. So one is, I believe that this riot, I have this in my head that I heard this from Rabbi Avi Gervel. That's my impression that I had this one. Okay? The Gemara of the Zara is clarifying, why did the Chum Aser doing this happen? What's the reason for the Takana? The Gemara has a whole slew of answers as to why we ask it. The Shulchan Aruch said one of them, okay, the one that we passed on for halacha. But one of the answers that the Gemara gives is because Goyim would be maimed their cheese with wine, with vinegar, meaning with wine vinegar, and wine vinegar is straight, it's stam yayin. Okay? So he says, what do you make with wine vinegar? You can't make cheddar cheese with wine vinegar. The only thing you can make with vinegar is soft cheese. Of course you can make soft cheese with vinegar. If you put vinegar into your milk, you'll also have soft cheese. That's what you do. You put acid into it, something acidic into it, and it pulls out the protein. So this answer to the Gemara, that shot in the Gemara, is surely talking about soft cheese. Okay? So, of course, you could say that it's a machlokes between two answers. Maybe this answer holds this way, this holds this one. But it doesn't sound like that. The Gemara, giving all these bunch of reasons, sounds like they all agree on what cheese we're talking about. The Gemara talks about an afkamina between Gvina, but a different answer. Gvina Yevesha and Gvina Lacha, but that's not what this is. Gvina Lacha and Yevesha talks about a different thing. Gvina Lacha and Yevesha means cheese Lacha. Gvina Lacha means the cheese before you squeeze out all the way out of it. When it first separates, it's just clumps of mushy curd floating around in the thing, and you squeeze it, and then Yevesha is after you squeeze it out. Okay, so, but the implication is that all the cases are either Mutter Rosser, but not that that's a Machlokes. Okay, so that's a riot to think that soft cheese does need Gvina Sazara. Now, the other side is, this is what David was talking about. Is that we're going to find out.
Maybe that the Maisa, the Amrish Shalim of all the reasons for Gilui, right?
Yes.
Because
that can apply to soft cheese also.
Right.
So you're saying this. That's
because it's used the water. That's the sort we make it to. Now there's a sort to make on Gilui Sakham altogether.
Two times. Once I've got
it. Because we're not going to give it. Right. And then there's a sort to make it. But over here. That
would be an afkamina. Okay, good. That's a good point. Okay, so the Ramah's we're going to find out that the Ramah holds the way you make Gvina Yisrael is by having the Yid watch the making of the cheese. Okay, so that's what the Ramah's going to. We're going to find out. We're talking about that. The Ramah's going to say that it has to. You watch the person making the cheese. Okay, when the person watches, when you say you watch them, you watch your grains to make sure they don't become hummus, to make matzah shmura. That doesn't mean a guy should stare at it, right? The point is not to say, sit there and look at the machine. The point is, look and make sure of this chash that we have. Make sure that the grains don't become hummus. So you have to keep an eye on it. You're overseeing it to make sure it doesn't become hummus. Don't look at it. Not just to stare. The mitzvah is to look for a purpose. So over here, what would you say to the guy? Look at the thing and make sure they don't put it in red. So on one hand, it's ridiculous. What are you looking at? They're making cottage cheese. Of course they're not putting it in red. What am I going to look at sour cream? What am I going to look at? I mean, if you look at the finished package, you see there's no red in it. It's obvious. I mean, you look at it. Why would I think? It's like if I stand in a applesauce company and say, make sure they don't put any red in it. It would be silly. What are you going to tell? What am I supposed to stand there? Look, it seems silly to tell the guy stand in it. Okay, you could say loipug, but Rabbi Shakti was like, So what do we want the guy to do? Should we watch as they stick it onto the counter? Remember, they used to make soft cheeses without anything. You can make cottage cheese just by leaving it on the counter. So when you take it, I'm making cheese. Now I watch and I can go home. What are you going to watch? Which Rabbi says, should we sit and watch it for 2 days? It takes time until it turns. Not when you put in the acid. When you just let it sit. So should I just sit there and watch it for 2 days? So you have mashgichim to meet him watching this thing turning into cheese? You know, it doesn't make any sense. What do you want the guy to do to make that? Okay, so the people who make it in the Chol Yisrael, which most, I think, the Chol Yisrael is pretty standard that they make it, Gvina Yisrael also, there's a mashgiach there, and nowadays they make cheese, even soft cheeses, they don't wait for it to turn to cheese. They add something into it. So the mashgiach watches them add it in, the mashgiach adds it in himself, but, so he's doing what, you know, and that has to do with the Shach, he does certain things, but those things make us question, how can it be that they require you to have watching? The Ramah holds watching what makes Gvina Yisrael. What do they have in mind? Like, what could it be such a thing that you'd watch to make it happen? Okay, so these are different...
Isn't the Iker in Gvina Yisrael that the Jew owns it?
That's the Shach. That's not the Ramah. That you're thinking about the Shach. The Shach says you should own it.
Everybody agrees that Gvina Yisrael, the Jew owns it. Then, if the Jew doesn't own it, so then there's, you know, nothing else to do it.
We're going
to
wait for two times from now to talk about it.
Answer this question.
But that's an opinion. The Ramah doesn't say that. He thinks even the Ramah holds that. So
I'm not sure. I thought that even the Ramah says that. So the basic community is that Jew owns the stuff. Jew owns the stuff. Then there's other. Then you got other situations. Doesn't matter. So you got to do it this and that.
You might be right. You might be right.
Then,
right. You know. So if that would be true, then that would be a reason to a way to get around it. Excuse me. We'll see when we get to two times. Hopefully, two times from now. To see about that. Okay. Anyhow, so we're closing this sort of at this point to say that there's a lot of poskim who would imply that you need to have Gvina Yisrael and soft cheeses. There's some questions, but the practice for most hashgachos, us included, is that we say Gvina Yisrael is not required for these soft cheeses. Okay. Now, Ramoshin has truly added an extra cage to it, which is, let's say you don't need Gvina Yisrael, Okay, he says not so inclined to, let's say that. But lemaisa is nowadays, for whatever reasons, they add a drop of rennet into the soft cheese also. So while they're making cottage cheese, they throw in a little bit of rennet also into the cheese. So he wants to know, does that make it worse? Because cottage cheese, the etzem doesn't need rennet. That's not how you make cottage cheese. But the fact that they're sticking in rennet, does that somehow now make it that now it doesn't need any sea salt? The etzem sour cream wouldn't, but this sour cream does, because the guy put in some rennet into it. Okay? So Ramesha says that Lamai says the amount that's been put in is so minuscule, it would never make the cheese. It's not enough to create really a hard cheese. The amount you put in would do nothing to the cheese. And the mela, you can call it zeta garden, call it whatever you want to, it's just like an ingredient. It's not really the maimed, and therefore that doesn't make it need to have finish sisra. Okay? And when
maybe I'm mixing two things, but if you put a miyat or something into it, it doesn't even come close to shisha, just a miyat. If it does something to it, that already puts it in a new getter, that it's a major force in it.
Yes, you're right about that. The question is, but is that make, so you, it has to be kosher. Don't let it put it in if it's not kosher. But is that creating cheese? Is that saying that because I put it in, therefore this is now categorized as a hard cheese? It's not a hard cheese. It's not making a hard cheese.
Are you talking about a hard cheese, or are you talking about something that's going to cause a flavor enhancement or a visual enhancement?
Second.
Which is a major thing on kashrus.
Right. So but the question is not whether it has an effect. Maybe it does has a little effect. Maybe it has to be, since you put it in on purpose, you have to make sure it's kosher. The question is, but by doing that, did I turn this into a hard cheese? So he says, he didn't turn it into a hard cheese. It's coming out of cottage cheese anyhow. That little bit that he did, it doesn't make it hard cheese. It would never make it hard cheese. It's nothing. So it has to be kosher. But you're saying it has to be kosher, but it doesn't make it cheese. It has to be gvinis yisrael. So when we talk to cheesemakers, they were monitoring, and they drew us out a chart of how much rennet you put in to make these different cheeses. The way they work is by 1,000 pounds. Okay, it's how much rennet per 1,000 pounds. And when you look at the numbers, how they give it, it is a very dramatic difference. The amount of rennet you put in for the what we call the hard cheese is 70, 80, 90, some even more than that, milliliters per 1,000 gallon, per 1,000 pounds. And the ones like the cottage cheeses and farmer cheese, the amounts they're putting in are like 1, 2, 3. Okay, it's like tiny, tiny amounts. Okay, you put in tiny. It's not like it's like a scale that goes 1, 5, 10, 20, 30. There's like a couple that are like 1, 2. And then all of a sudden the next one is 75. Okay, it's like this big space in between that. And then obviously the ones that are the soft cheese and the hard cheeses, there are exceptions. Every once in a while, Yossi hears about a company, they're putting in 15 milliliters. They're putting in 20 milliliters. So they get full right there into the middle of there. The person could have been inclined to be more machmer, saying, we don't know if that's within this side of the line or that side of the line. We could talk about that. But for most of them, for the farmer cheeses and cottage cheese and cream cheese, the amounts are so tiny, it's obvious, not the other kind. But before I finish this part, I have to just tell you that about 2 years ago, Rabbi Gersten from the OU wrote something about this, and he pointed out something, a very interesting point, which is, just a technical point, which is, the number, I just told you some numbers. Use this many milliliters and this many milliliters per 1,000 pounds. So he said, first of all, is that the way you measure strength of rennet in a mixture is using something called IMCU, which stands for International Milk Clotting Units. Okay? It's a measure of how much rennet you have. Okay, in the United States, single strength rennet is 200 IMCUs, and in Europe, it's 130 or 140 IMCUs. So a milliliter of rennet in America and a milliliter of rennet in Europe are not the same thing. What we call 1 milliliter of rennet means 200 IMCUs. And what they call it is 130 IMCUs. And so it's not the same thing. And on the other hand, when we make rennet, we think these numbers we're talking about is in single strength rennet. There's also things as double strength and 5 times strength. You get stronger ones. So you have a 5 times rennet, you say, I'm only putting in 1 milliliter. Very nice. But you're really putting in 5 milliliters because it was really... It wasn't single strength, it was 5 times strength. So you're getting the equivalent of 5. So that's just a technicality. When you're trying to figure something out, if they say they're using 20, but they're using 20 milliliters of 5 times strength, they're not using 20, they're using 100. Okay, so just to help understand that plate. Okay. One last thing to finish off with. There was a cheese that came up for discussion. It's called Skyr. Okay, it's spelled S-K-Y-R. Okay, it's pronounced Skyr. It's spelled in such an unusual way because the milk, this kind of cheese comes from Iceland. That's what they eat over there. It's a yogurt-type food. But this yogurt-type food, is made with rennet, with a certain amount of rennet, and it seems that if you make it without the rennet, it doesn't come out the same. It comes out watery, and if you make it with the rennet, it comes out more solid. Now, the rennet, the amount that they're putting in is a tiny amount. Okay, it's an amount that would not coagulate the cheese, but it's had quite a dramatic effect on the thing. It doesn't come out the same if you make it without that. Rabbi Schwartz thought we should be making about that. There's another cheese that's like that also, Baker's cheese. Baker's cheese also has rennet in it that's functional.
Does it come with Asher?
Does Baker's cheese come with it? Does here? Well, that was the question. They applied for Ashkacha. They applied for Ashkacha. The question was, should we treat it as soft cheese and say, no problem, easy, give Ashkacha, or say it needs community straw? That was the question. Okay, Rabbi Schwartz said we should be making about that. The Baker's cheese has rennet for a different purpose. There also, you always need to have rennet. There has to do with the way they filter it. Okay, it has nothing to do with the making the cheese. It has to do with how they filter it. But the answer to both of these, the skyr and the Baker's cheese, are treated as soft cheese.